Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
I got a press release and it reads this way. Saying they have years and in some cases decades of experience selling marijuana. By the way, congratulations to our winner. We do have the 10th caller. We got it during the news of our Comedy of Errors prize. Jennifer, you take the tickets and enjoy them. Have a great time. Everybody else, go pay some cash and go see that show. Saying they have years and in some cases decades of experience selling marijuana, a group of black citizens say they cannot wait on delayed government bureaucracy to establish policy for them to land jobs in the lucrative new legalized cannabis industry. They need and want jobs now. The men and women, some ex-felons, have turned to T.O. Mr. Ceasefire Hardiman, executive director of Violence Interrupters. They're having a press conference today. He said, look, vendors can sell food out of trucks. We know weed and the neighborhood. How about we sell it out of a truck? I guess out of a truck? T.O., this is John Williams, and you're on WGN Radio. Welcome to the show.
Oh, yeah, I'm glad to be on your show, John. I appreciate you today.
I have to tell you, I got a little chuckle when I first read this because I get it. But by the same token, I thought, no way. No way are they going to allow this. T.O., what's going on here?
Well, this was sad. You know, it's really, really unacceptable here in Chicago that we do not have not one African-American-owned marijuana dispensary. So I met with a lot of the brothers from the streets. I must admit, they turned to my for my leadership, and they said they came to me with an idea about peddler's license. I say that sounds good to me. We need to push for peddler's license because the average young guy here on the streets of Chicago, they don't have no $250,000 to open up a dispensary. And then also, it's just insane. We have an African American mayor, African American lieutenant governor, and the drug czar is African American, and we don't have no dispensaries. It's totally unacceptable. But let me be clear with the people that are listening. What I'm talking about is. Everything is legal. The unemployment rate is 45% for African-American youth in the city of Chicago right now. I'm saying this way we can reduce unemployment by at least 20%. We can help ease some of the ongoing conflicts surrounding the illegal drug market. And at the same time, we might be able to reduce some of the gun violence by allowing these young men to have peddler's license so they can set up at farmers markets. They can set up in some designated areas, and they can purchase the cannabis wholesale from the dispensary, you know, the owners of the dispensaries, and it's a win-win situation because everybody can make money on legalized cannabis right now. So I think it's a win-win situation for the entire city of Chicago and the state of Illinois.
How many of those licenses, I presume there would be some licensing for the peddlers, as you say, who, you're right, now that you mention it, I could see that at a farmer's market a farmer's market. How many licenses would you like to see granted and who would get them? How would that work, T.O.?
Yeah, I love that question. So this is what I'm looking at. I think there should be like a limit every year on how many licenses are given out. Let's say maybe, I'm just putting some numbers out now, maybe let's say 300 licenses a year, and then it should cost around $250. And the people that should be qualified to receive the license are young men and women that may have been locked up for selling marijuana. Their sentences have been commuted by the governor anyway. And young guys, so some of these ex-felons, so they can have a shot at making some legal money. And everybody's paying taxes money. So that would be my answer for you
and
there.
And if it strikes people as curious that you're suggesting it'd be people who previously had run-ins with the law for marijuana, in fact, those are the people that were getting preferential treatment for the retail stores, right? So it's not so crazy to suggest that the people who were previously the criminals, if you will, would now actually be the law-abiding citizens selling the product. But they don't have those storefront operations, do they?
No, not at all. But you have to go back to Prohibition when alcohol was illegal. You had all the gangsters, you know, overseeing, you know, the bootleg alcohol industry. And when they made alcohol legal, they started opening up speakeasy lounges. They started, the alcohol was being sold at restaurants. I mean, everywhere. So why not marijuana? You know, think about Grubhub and Uber Eats. We can take this on a higher level. You know, people can bring you curbside service, okay? And these young guys can make some money. I would love to see the crime rate go, the gun violence rates go down in Chicago and see these young men and women making money out here.
You know, it's funny, though, because it's kind of like mental whiplash for a lot of us. The scene of at a curbside, somebody pulling up and getting marijuana and then somebody else giving them cash. That's the typical crime scene that a lot of people have in their heads. Now you're asking us to legalize that, actually to be partners in that. And I think that's just a mental leap for a lot of people. I get the logic, but I think, as my colleague said a little while ago, the word optics comes to mind. I think that is, that bothers people a little, Teo.
Well, let me say this to everybody that does listen. It's time to flip the script right now, okay? The city leaders are searching for ways to end the gun violence. People are searching for solutions out here. And, I mean, I'm talking about it this way, but we can modify everything I'm talking about and bring it up to, the current.
Are you worried? 2020. Let me ask you this. Are you worried about the cash? I mean, if somebody's in a truck or at some flea market, I'm not sure where they're going to be. But one of the reasons these places are behind locked doors is because of the amount of cash involved. They're targets for crime just standing there. How are you going to handle that, Teo?
Well, one thing about the brothers on the streets, they know how to handle themselves on the streets, okay? Just being honest with you, I don't think the young brothers are worried about that. I just believe it could bring some sort of peace to some of the communities out here. And when you look at, let's look at the southeast side, 79th and Damon, all the way to 79th and Gates. There's over 1,000 abandoned storefronts right on 79th Street. So what I'm saying, give these young people an opportunity to make some money, because there's a 45% unemployment rate amongst African-American young people between ages of 16 to 28 right now in Chicago, and we can reduce unemployment with that population by about 15 to 20%. I think it's a win-win situation for peddler's license here in Chicago.
I got less than a minute left. Mike, you're on WGN. What was your observation, Mike? You're on the air.
You know what, John, I agree with a lot of what this gentleman is saying. I mean, I think it's very unfair the way all of a sudden the politicians have figured out, oh, it's okay for us to make money off of pot now or marijuana. And the thing is, it costs some extraordinary amount of money, $250,000. I think that's just for the application. Doesn't guarantee you anything. And you could, I think there's, you could possibly lose that as well.
I got to say this. A lot of people are agreeing with you, Mike and Rich, on another phone line. I'm out of time, but T.O., the first flush of calls and texts here think you may be on to something. We'll be listening for that press conference. Good luck to you later this afternoon.
Yeah, I appreciate you very much for having me on.
T.O. Hardiman's got a press conference. They're going to make their case loudly later today.